All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 in your Bibles, if you would. We have been covering the series on Satan. And I don't know if this will be the last one. This might be. This will be message number 10, actually. Yeah, isn't that something? The first three were Satan, your adversary. Okay, Satan, your enemy. Those were the first three. And then the second three were Satan, the anointed cherub that covereth. And then one message on the God of this world. And then we had two messages, the Prince of the Power of the Air, we had on Sunday. So that would be 9, and then this would be 10. So that this might close out this series, maybe, I don't know yet, I'm not sure, there may be a few others. As I look at the different titles, the Lord really speaks to you, because you have to understand the workings of Satan and how he works. And those titles and those names, they mean a lot. They explain a lot to us. And if we just overlook those, then we're not spiritually prepared for the battles that we need to be prepared for, or for the enemy that is after us. And tonight is going to be very interesting, because Satan, the transformed angel of light, we're going to look at that, and how is he that, and what is the Bible discussing here? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm going to read you a great portion of this, because really his title is explained in this context and what he is doing here. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled at Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh, now pay attention to this, this is where it gets very important. He talks about the simplicity of Christ. You've all heard that message I've preached on, the simplicity of Christ Jesus. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Whom we have not preached. Or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. What is he talking about? Bear with him. He's being kind of facetious here. He's saying, you know, well, maybe you would bear with him. Maybe you would be, remember, Paul uses sarcasm a lot in his words when he deals with these guys, because they blatantly abused him. I mean, they blatantly misused him. They blatantly charged him with things that weren't true. If you've never heard these sermons, I've preached about 4 or 5 messages, actually, or 6 messages in 1 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, he's correcting a lot of these things. But anyway, the Apostle Paul, he says this. He says, maybe you'll bear with him. You won't bear with me when I'm giving you the truth, but you'll bear with somebody that gives you a false Jesus, who gives you a false gospel. And we'll kind of get to this. And he's going to tell you where this is all coming from in a second here. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. He's saying, you know, I am no dummy, really. I mean, you know, you might take me as one. Maybe because of what I did in my past, I was a murderer and I hurt the church of the Lord before. Maybe you would think less of me, but I'm not behind in wit. And he wasn't. He was a Pharisee. He's a master of the law. He understood it very well. And he understood these things. And he was just saying that he was an idiot. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. He says, I might come to you rough and rude in speech. So when I come to you, you don't like the way I say things. I understand that. I can relate to that as well. A lot of people say, oh, I don't like the way you say that. Well, you know, Paul said, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. He says, you may not like what I'm saying or the way I'm saying it, but I understand what I'm saying. And it's very biblical what I'm telling you. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abusing myself that you might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied in all things. Have I kept myself from being burdensome unto you? And so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. So anyway, the Apostle Paul is explaining what is going on here. He's laying the foundation here of what took place and why they're charging him. But he's also going to tell you where it's coming from. He says, wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, this is our text verse here, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So the Apostle Paul is laying it down here. He's saying that there are people that are coming to you and they're questioning everything that I preach and they're false apostles. But he says something about Satan here. He says that no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now, it doesn't say he's an angel of light. It says he's transformed into an angel of light. Why? When he comes to man, or when he came to Eve in the garden, when he comes as a transformed angel of light. Now that means more than what you think it does. It doesn't just mean light as in bright light, although that's part of it, because we've all heard people tell stories about bright lights, and we'll get to that in a little while here. But anyway, the thing you have to understand is this is the religious side of Satan. This is how he appeals to religion. This is how he appeals to the spiritual side of somebody who's desiring to know something about God. That's how he does it. That's how he appeals to them. This angel of light is a religious title for Satan. It's how he works. So, number one, the manifestation of Satan here is the religious side of him. Satan will appear as an angel of light. Did he not do the same in the Garden of Eden? This refers not only to his appearance, but also his method in religion. He has a method that he uses. Satan has this method as the angel of light that he comes. Light as wisdom. That's what it is. He's offering man wisdom into spiritual things. This is Satan's most deadly form as the transformed angel of light. This is where the devil has sent more people to hell and led more people to hell, is as the angel of light. There is no other title, not the God of this world, not the Prince of Darkness, not any of those, as the angel of light. Because as the angel of light, he has transformed himself as an angel of light. He's not the angel, because nowhere in the Bible does it say that Satan is an angel. It doesn't say that. It says he's a cherub, it says he's a dragon, but he comes as an angel of light. He's able to transform himself as an angel of light. Now, turn to Genesis chapter 3, these old verses that you know so well, that you've heard so many times over and over again. Genesis chapter 3, and verse number 1. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? See, listen to what he said to her. The first thing that he did was question God. That's the first thing that he did. He got her to entertain the notion of questioning God. And he was just asking her about God's law. Oh, did God really say that? Did God say that you couldn't eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Stop right there. What is this angel of light doing? He is offering light to them. He is offering wisdom to them. He says, God has said you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. She said, for God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and look, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. See, Satan transformed himself as an angel of light in the garden as a serpent, and I don't pretend to be able to explain all that to you. It's kind of confusing. There's a lot there. We could say a lot about that, but there's not time in this study to do that. But as he came to her in the garden, and he offered her light, light that nobody else had, light that nobody else could give her, he offered her some wisdom, some new thing. He offered her some new thing. And what'd she do? She grabbed it. She went after it. Why? Because he appealed to her and he said, you'll be wise. You'll have wisdom beyond your years. You'll be as gods. She saw it and she took it. He offered Eve a light, not the light. You will know, Eve, you will be as gods and have new light and new wisdom. You see, he appeals to the spiritual side of you, wanting to have a spirit walk, only he uses it to push his own spirit. You see, he knows that man is curious about the God above. He knows that man is curious about the spirit world. He understands man is very curious about that. So what is his goal? What is his desire to do? Is to feed you wisdom, but not the wisdom that is after God, not heavenly wisdom, but a sensual, the Bible says, a devilish wisdom. Remember that in the book of James? It's not wisdom from above, but it's sensual. It's carnal. It's devilish. That's what he offers you, is that devilish wisdom. He is not an angel of true light, but he comes as one, and he uses it to deceive the masses into hell. He is a dangerous foe as the angel of light. If he can just part some new knowledge unto you that you did not know before. How about this? How about a new Bible version, one that changes the meaning of words? And what does he do? He changes the meaning of the words and the new perversions that he has out there, and the NIV and all those other Bible verses, and he uses those perverse Bible versions to what? For you to think that he's shedding new light upon things to you. He's giving so you can understand it. Oh, Eve, look, you'll understand everything if you read this version. Yea, hath God said? You'll understand it if you read this version. If you take the NIV, you'll get it. You don't want that old archaic King James Bible. You want something new. I'll shine some new light on it for you. I'll help you understand it. No, he'll do what he does best, and that's pervert it. He wants one that changes salvation, one that perverts the doctrines of Scripture. He's fine with promoting an NIV, because it's just enough to send you to hell. It's just wrong enough to send you to hell. It's no problem for him. You can have some Jesus and some devil. He's okay with that. You can preach a work salvation as long as it's not pure Bible. After all, did he not do that to Eve? He preached some God, just not the whole truth. He appeals to the religious side of man as the one that comes as an angel of light. How do we know that's what Paul's talking about? Well, in that same chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3, he says this, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled at Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." He says, I'm concerned for you that as the devil tricked Eve with his subtlety, that he will trick you and you will get off from the simplicity. What was the simplicity for Eve? Don't eat that fruit of that. You can eat any tree in the garden, just don't eat that one. Leave that one alone. That was simple. But what did he do? He made it complicated. Yea, hath God said? So now you have a land today full of hundreds of different Bible versions. Tons of different Bible versions. You go to a bookstore, used to be a religious bookstore, like, I forget what they're called, Family Christians and those other ones. There's newer ones, but I can't think of the names. I haven't been to one for so long. But you go into those, and you look at their Bible versions, and there's like 30 or 40 of them just all over the place. Which one are you going to get? Well, if you just pick one, if you want to say something, just pick the right one. Pick one that leans towards you and you'll be just fine. But Paul was very distinct. He said this angel, this one that comes as an angel of light, he's a religious deceiver. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Paul was warning that Satan would just preach another Jesus, not found in the Bible. Don't you understand? He's not going to try to get you not to believe there's a Jesus. He's not going to try to get you to believe there's not a God. He just wants to give you another Jesus. He wants to give you another God. He wants to give you another path. Not to erase Jesus from your mind. He knows that can't happen because even creation beareth witness to that truth. So what does he do then? He preaches another Jesus. Another Jesus. It would be one that Satan made up, and that his ministers would preach that Jesus would seek to do so under the guise of light. Oh, we'll give you that light. So that false Jesus, that Antichrist. That's how Satan operates. He offers you that spiritual light, but really he's introducing you into the kingdom of darkness. But he does it under the guise of light. Paul is referring to spiritually being seduced and the devil being the chief culprit of it. Satan, as the angel of light, is the chief culprit of being religiously deceived. The Bible says very clearly that he was a liar from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth. And he was a murderer from the beginning. He is a murderer of the souls of men and their lives, and would love nothing better than to come as an angel of light to deceive them. The Bible says, who deceiveth the whole world. Remember God's description of him? Remember that wisdom? You say, well, how do you know that light is talking about wisdom? When you go back to Ezekiel chapter 28, when we talked about that, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Full of wisdom. Had all the wisdom you could imagine. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. See, the light and the wisdom go hand in hand. He had both, the light and the wisdom. God said, I will cast thee to the ground, I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. His name means light bearer, and he is full of wisdom and beauty. He uses that light or that wisdom for evil because it's been corrupted. He corrupted it. He defiled it, and he uses it against man to bring him down. So he offers the lost and the saved a light that is not according to Christ. Not Christ, the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You see the contrast? It's so easy to be fooled by the prince of darkness that comes as the angel of light. If he did have horns on his head, and if he did walk around with a pitchfork and a tail, then you would know to stay away from him. But that's not how Satan works. He's very subtle, so he doesn't work like that. He works in a way that is so deceiving as an angel of light. And we fall for his tricks. The cults are a direct result of the angel of light. You see, Satan figured out a long time ago, Mystery Babylon, he figured out a long time ago that what he could do is not try to erase the religion of God, not try to erase Jehovah, not try to erase the Christ coming, not try to erase that, but let's pervert it. Because it's harder to get somebody to believe the truth after they've been fed lies. Do you know how hard it is after somebody's in a cult to teach them about the real Christ? It's tough. Why? Because they've been taught wrong and it's very deceiving. But the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. This is the most amazing, I think, reproof of Mormonism and a lot of those cults that are out there, and also of Satan's work, because Paul laid it out for you and he told you, But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. If he comes and he preaches, if an angel comes from heaven, if the angel of light comes from heaven, the one that is transformed into an angel of light, if he comes from heaven and he preaches you another gospel, let him be accursed. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Joseph Smith said an angel delivered unto him a gospel. He said the angel Moroni, kind of rhymes with macaroni, but that angel Macaroni is probably some devil somewhere. It was probably a fallen angel that came. I wouldn't doubt it if he did come to him. People don't believe that, but I do. But he came to him and with the golden plates, like the golden ticket. And he came to him and he said, I got these golden plates. And this is the Book of Mormon. And this is everything that you need for salvation. This is the new gospel. This is a new chapter in the Bible. And new books in the Bible. And the Bible is very clear that if an angel come from heaven and preach any other gospel to you, let him be accursed. But Paul said it very clearly. The Apostle Paul knew that Satan, that angel of light, could come and pervert the true gospel and would bring manifestations from men. I've heard everything from people. I've had people tell me they died, went to heaven and saw a bright light and came back and they were saved because of that. So they had a near-death experience and they saw a big bright light and that meant that they were saved and God was going to take them to heaven. Now let me ask you a question. Did you see that anywhere in the scriptures at all? What is the one way to heaven? What does the Bible say? Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. I don't care what you saw. Look, I did a lot of dope before I was saved, and I saw a lot of things in the sky before I got saved, and I had seen a lot of golden things and shiny things and everything else. But I'm going to tell you something right now. None of that saved me. I was still a lost sinner on my way to hell, would split hell wide open if I'd have died at that point. So, you know, you're not going to tell me that you've seen some light in heaven, and that's God's way of telling you you're saved. If you're dependent on that, you're going to die and go to hell tonight. The one that's transported angel light, Satan, has tricked you. He has fooled you. He has deceived you into believing a false gospel. Because there is only one gospel. There is only one Jesus. Amen. That's right, or a voice talked to me and told me something. What is that? That's more of that wisdom from Satan. That's more that devilish wisdom from the devil. And people believe it. Why? Because the angel of light is very persuasive. The one that comes as an angel of light, the transformed angel of light, very deceiving. Is not that the way it is today? Look at the translators of modern perversions of the Bible. They bring out a gender-neutral version, a gay version, or a homosexual version, a New American Standard version, the Message Bible, the NIV, the Received Text, or the Textus Receptus. We're going to use this to correct it. We're going to use this to correct the King James Bible. Or the manuscripts that were sitting in a monastery dumpster, and they found them in there, and they said, well, I'll tell you what, we'll use this to correct the Bible. We'll use these manuscripts that haven't been used at all. What is that? That's the devil saying, I've got new light for you. We found this new light. No, I'll just stick to the King James Bible. It's all right there. It's preserved. It's inspired. It's all right there for me. I don't have to look for another version. I believe God and His promise. By the way, God didn't promise that He was going to hide it somewhere in a monastery somewhere or at the bottom of the Vatican vault somewhere. And we had to wait for the Pope to allow us to use some of those manuscripts to correct the Bible. No, what did He say? He said He would preserve His word. He said that it would be there. He said we would have it. He promised us that. And it is here. And it is the King James Bible. And it's very clear that's what it is. But the devil wants to always offer somebody new light. New light to correct the old black book. That's what he wants. Just some new light. Well, you know what? Beware of that new light that wants to, that gives you a liberty to sin. Because that's usually what it's all about. It's all about the fact that it'll compromise some Bible so you can sin and live wickedly or live carnally, because that's what the devil wants you to do. Anyway, as if God has hidden His word for years, that's Satan. He's wanting to attack the word of God. He is the angel of light, that is the prince of darkness, and his only goal is to get you off that perfect word of God, to get you into a modern new perversion. Because the new perversions say what? Yea, hath God said? When you grab the new perversions and put them against the King James Bible and you set them down and you're missing like half chapters and you're missing verses and you can't find any of them, what's that saying to you? That's Satan whispering in his voice, yea, hath God said? Oh, see, it's not in the new Bible, so it must not be real. God didn't say it. That's the same old trick in the garden. That's the angel of light, coming as the angel of light, that transformed angel of light. He's coming to deceive you. He wants to bring you some new light. He wants to teach you some new thing. Not from the Word of God, but I want to teach you something else that's extra biblical. Beware of that. That's the same line that Eve fell for. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Yea, hath God said? No, Eve, let me shine some new light and wisdom on this for you. As the angel of light, Satan seeks to sway you from the word of God, sway you into those modern perversions. I certainly believe what God said. Why should I look for another? Why do I need to look for another? Oh, you need to go back to the Greek. You need to learn Greek and Hebrew. Because if you don't learn Greek and Hebrew, then you can't know the Bible. Really. Now, I'm not saying everybody's of Satan that uses Greek and Hebrew. My point is that if you're trying to tell me that God's used this King James Bible for over 400 years, and it's the only book, by the way, that has ever seen revival, none of those other ones have. None of those others have sparked a great awakening. It was this book that was used for that. And you're telling me that that's what happened, but I got to go back into something else. I got to go into the Greek and the Hebrew because God couldn't translate His word in English. I think God can speak English. I think He knows that language pretty well. I think God knew exactly what was going to happen with the King James Bible. He ordained it to happen that way, and it did happen that way. There's a lot that goes into that. We don't have time to touch it. But anyway, that's one of the ways that Satan comes as that angel of light. I mean, think about today. If there's a doctrinal dispute, how could most churches settle those disputes when they don't use one Bible, when they use like seven different versions? You got the pastor using an NIV, or you got somebody using the New King James, you got this person using that version, and how are you going to come together and have a doctrine? What does Satan do? Well, he got everybody to have a different version of the Bible, so now what? Well, now there's no authority. You see how that works? There's no final authority then. You see that? There isn't a final authority. There isn't a thus saith the Lord, because I could just say, well, this version says this, and that version says this, and that version says this. So there's no final authority. So who wins? The devil! Chaos! Because churches can't even agree what the Word of God is, or what it says. There was a preacher back in the late 1800s that warned of this. He said, you know, if they revise the Bible and they bring out a revised version, it's going to cause a lot of problems and confusion.
And he warned about it. Nobody listened to him, but it happened anyway. And it has ever since then, because it's never stopped. It just continues to go on. And it's all about money making. It's about money. But it's also about that angel of light that uses that to pervert. Look what he's been able to do. He couldn't erase the word of God from people's minds. So what did he do? He just perverted it. He got you to question it. Yea, hath God said. That's his angel of light. That's how he does it. He uses that subtle wisdom, that slyness that he has. Satan is the angel of light, is very religious. In fact, he's the one that started all the cults. He's the one that inspires all the cults. How about Rome, the greatest perverter of all things religious, will not erase Christ from you, but they preach a Jesus submissive to Mary. They don't preach a Jesus according to the scriptures. It's another Jesus. They preach a Jesus that dies continually in the Eucharist. They preach a purgatory instead of a heaven and a hell alone. They preach no salvation outside of the church. They preach baptismal regeneration, which means that baptism saves you, instead of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They preach a maybe salvation and not an eternal one. They preach confessions of sins, but not to Christ alone, but to a priest. They preach more than one mediator. The priest is a mediator. They say prayers, but to saints and to the hosts of heaven. Do you see that they still pray? Oh, I pray. I'm religious. Yes, Satan's very religious. Satan is very religious. They preach salvation, but not by grace, through faith. They preach the Pope is the vicar of Christ. He's the replacement. He is God on earth. I don't know how that worked. I'm trying to figure that out because the last Pope is still alive. He went into his cave somewhere, and then now this other Pope comes out, and which one's the vicar of Christ? Well, the other one lost his throne, or he gave up his throne, and he's no longer infallible. So he lost his infallibility, and he went off into his little village somewhere, and this other Pope is now the infallible one. But I'm just curious how you lose infallibility, because there's like two of you that have infallibility, but then that one Pope said, the old Pope, the one that looks like the evil emperor off of Star Wars, that guy, he says that, no, I'm not infallible anymore, I'll submit to this Pope. And there's a lot of speculation as why that guy did that, but I think it was because of all the child molesters that he pushed around the world and, you know, allowed to stay in the Roman Catholic Church and just switch them around to another place. And he knew about all that stuff was going on. They knew that. And they didn't do anything about it. Anyway, so they preach that. You see, they're led by Satan, the angel of light. They preach another Jesus, but they're religious. The angel of light is very religious, the one that's transformed into that angel of light. You see, they're led by Satan, the angel of light, to preach another Jesus. They preach a Nimrod, Osiris, Jesus, and not one in the scriptures. They preach the same thing that was preached in Mystery Babylon. If you've never heard any of those sermons that I preached this last spring, you might want to listen to some of those. But we talked about Osiris and Nimrod, and we talked about what went on with that, and Tammuz and his mother, and all the cult stuff that was involved with that. And that's all a leading of Satan. Another one of those perversions that the angel of light comes in the form of religion is Muhammad. Muhammad would fall down in a demonic epileptic trance and wake up and say he could have his best friend's wife. Islam, they're supposed to have only 7 wives. Well, after a while, he changed that. Then he had a best friend there, and he liked his wife, so then he fell down in a trance one day, started having an epileptic fit, kicking his legs up and down, woke up, stood up, and said, well, Allah told me I could have your wife. And if he didn't give him his wife, he just killed him and took her anyway. Why? Well, that's how Satan operates. That's that one that's transformed into an angel of light. That's how he works. That's what he does. Satan, he's a master worker with the cults, and they do his bidding. Why? Because the devil doesn't care if you're religious. Come on. Satan wants you to be religious. He doesn't want you to be saved. He wants you to be religious. You think the devil really minds that these Lutheran churches are full of people? You really think that bothers him? That there's 10 churches in this town that don't preach the gospel every Sunday, that don't preach the truth of the scriptures, that don't disciple people in the faith and tell them the truth? Do you think he cares if some 80-year-old lady has went to that church 63 years of her life and she's going to die and go to hell? What does he care if you go to that church? Well, that church ain't warring against him. That church is part of his kingdom. What does he care? He's not going to afflict them and bother them. Why would he? They're not saved. They're not preaching the truth. What is he preaching? Another Jesus. They don't tell them about the one true God. They don't tell them how they need to repent and be born again. They don't disciple them in the faith. What do? A bunch of ceremonies. A bunch of rituals. He's fine with all your religious rituals. Do you think he really cares?
No, he's fine with that, your religious rituals. He's the angel of light. He likes religion. He loves it. No problem. He loves religion. He has an agenda that he pushes. He has ministers and preachers to push it with him. Remember, this transformed angel is a master counterfeit. In this chapter, we saw a counterfeit gospel, a counterfeit Jesus, a counterfeit light. Jesus is the light of the world. Satan comes as a transformed angel of light. He's the counterfeit angel. He has the counterfeit ministers that teach the same false perversions as he does. They learned it from him. They get their power from him. He uses wisdom to corrupt people. He uses it against people. Hungry Christians can get swayed by false doctrines because they are hungry babies, and many times they'll eat anything that you give them. They'll swallow it straight down. This is how he deceives through religion. He's that master deceiver. As an angel offering light to somebody, he tricks people. He fools them. He just appeals to their desires. He appeals to the fact that they want wisdom. He even appeals to their religious side, to the fact that they want to know God. And he's like, I'll show you somewhat of who God is. He wants them to worship. Satan wants you to worship. He just doesn't want you to worship God in spirit and in truth. He's fine if you worship him. Why? Because he's the angel of light. And he's fine if you have some worship about you. He's fine if you have some religious ceremonies. You know, he's fine with a man growing up in a church, living his whole life in that church, never getting saved, never truly being born again, and dying and going to hell. He's perfectly fine with that. He won't even bother that person. Why? Well, why should he? He might use that person because they want to be used by him, because they won't turn to God. He's fine with that. It's great that your child grows up in a Christian home, but if they never get born again, it's not going to matter. He's still going to take them to hell. They're still going to go to hell. He appeals to that religious side. Look at all the cults. It's always about light that they want to give you. You see the Mormons. You see the JWs. They talk about Jesus. What do they say? Great teacher. And what do they feed you then? Well, as the angel of light, they know that you want to be fed something. So what do? They take you information, and the JWs will drop off books. And what do? They do Bible studies with you. They want to take you and do Bible studies. Oh, why don't we do a Bible study? You know what the JW's famous thing is to do? They knock on your door. They knock on the door and they start talking to you a little bit. They say, hey, can we come back and do a Bible study with you? These two women will talk to a man. Isn't that weird? And these two women will be like, I've seen it before. Can we come back and do a Bible study with you? These two ladies. Yeah, they'll come. Two ladies will come and do that. Can we do a Bible study? And most guys are like, sure, I don't care, whatever. Do a Bible study with me. What's wrong with these women? But okay, fine, I'll do a Bible study with you. They don't care because it's just two women. But the point is, that's what are they using? Light. Oh, they try to appeal to that light. Well, what version of the Bible are they using? The New World Translation. Well, that's not even a Bible. You know what that says about Jesus Christ? It says that he is a son of God, not the son of God. And then they get very angry with you if you stand up and correct what they're doing. Then they start to get mad at you. I've never seen little women get so mad in my life as them little JW women got mad at me. They got mad. They got very angry about that. Because I just said Jesus is God. I can't even talk to you. I mean, what would we talk about? If you believe not that I am he, you shall all likewise perish, he said. I said, I'll talk to you if you can tell me this. If you can answer this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Answer that. Answer me that. Well, I can't answer that right now. Oh, and you're going to die and go to hell, I told her. Plain and simple. You're going to die and go to hell then. If you don't believe the Bible, you're going to die and go to hell. Well, I can't really answer that. I know you can't. Because neither can Satan. And you know what happens? They leave. Why? Because you rebuked them in the name of Jesus Christ. You took the word of God and said, it is written. And what do? Okay, I'm out of here. I can't do any good here. I said, no, you can't do any bad here. You can't do any bad here. And they get mad. They get mad. Why? Because it's an angel. I've had the Moonies come in and do the same thing. Try to sell me stuff. What a weird name, Moonies. Sound like Goonies or something. It's weird. It's a strange name. Some god of Sung Moon or something. I don't know what he is anyway. But he said he was the second coming. And I said, he ain't the second coming. Jesus Christ is coming back again.
I started preaching to him. That boy looked at me, and he started to get scared. And he was like, whoa, because he was a new guy. And he didn't know what to say. And the other kids were laughing at me. I said, you laugh all you want to, but you're going to die and go to hell. You better quit laughing about that. I looked at the one kid. I said, these guys are leading you astray. They're going to lead you right to hell. Preaching a false gospel right there. Preaching a false doctrine to you. Heresy, wickedness. And they all want to offer you some kind of new light. So we'll do a Bible study. We'll bring you a bunch of information, the JWs. We'll bring you a bunch of things. We'll do all these things with you. We'll do, why? Because they want to give you some new light. What is that? That's Satan. They're preaching another gospel. It's another Jesus. Who does that? Satan. If you would understand that these cults are nothing to play with, you rebuke them with the word of God and you get away from them. Because they're of satanic leadings. They are led by the devil, the angel of light, who loves religion. He loves religion. And he will suck you into, well, maybe not you because you're saved, but he will suck many people up into a false religion. And the charismatic movement is much like that too. Now, there are some saved people in the charismatic movement, but the charismatic movement is much like that too. It has a satanic side to it. And incidentally, a lot of the charismatic movement was led by women. Because it was all about feelings. It was all about that feelings of speaking in tongues, and you can never convince me that's not of God. Or you can never convince me it is of God, because I've watched what you people do. And they just start babbling and babbling and babbling and babbling. There's nothing in the Bible about babbling. There's nothing in the Bible about that. And by the way, in the very verse that they're using about tongues, it also says in that very chapter that women are supposed to keep silent in church. And they're not permitted to speak. But to be under subjection, if they want to ask something, they ask their husband at home. Why? Because they weren't supposed to stand up and start speaking in tongues. In fact, we don't even see really the gift of tongues for women. I've never even seen it before. I could be wrong about that, but I haven't seen it. What I have seen it for is men, though. And I have seen it, and they stood up and God used them to preach the gospel in their tongue after their own language. That's what they heard. But what is that? It is his confusion. It is his coming as an angel of light. His religious side, appealing to the religious side. I can give you some light, some wisdom. That's what he wants to do. Anything to sway you away from God, just like he did Eve. He got Eve to go another way. He will get the Antichrist, will do the same, but the Antichrist will follow him. He will go with him. When Christ would not, Christ just rebuked him with the word of God and he left. He took off. The same thing needs to happen with that cult and a false gospel that is preached. It needs to be put down with the Bible and rejected completely. That's what this angel of light wants to do. He wants to beguile you. He wants to be subtle and he wants to sway you from the truth. And we have to be strong and we have to know the word of God and defend ourselves. You hear people all over there talking about how they had dreams that they went to heaven and they know they're saved, or they had some bright light come into them, or they had this. That's all the workings of Satan. He comes as an angel of light. That's how he manifests himself. He transforms into an angel of light. That's the work that he does. And you need to understand that. So when somebody ever tells you, I've heard people tell me that. Oh, I seen this light. I know I had this near-death experience and God saved me from that near-death experience and I saw a light. So is that your salvation testimony? Yep, well, you're not saved then. Because you can't find that gospel in the Bible at all. It's not in there. You got to come to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have to come in repentance and faith and believe. You're not going to come any other way. There's only one way to heaven, and it's not through a bright, shiny light. That's the way to hell. That's the angel of light, the one that comes as a transformed angel of light. Don't believe those things, and don't be fooled by the devil. I remember my own mother used to tell me that story when I was a kid. When I was younger, she was in a bad train. Was it a train wreck, Dad? It was a train wreck. She was in a very bad train wreck. And she used to talk about, she had really, and I believe she had a dream. I don't say that these people don't have dreams. You understand this now, okay? Because I do believe they do have dreams. I'm just not saying they're of God, okay? I want you to understand that, because the devil is that angel of light, and he can do a lot of things. And he comes to them as an angel of light. And she had a dream that she died and went to heaven. And I remember for years I had a problem with her testimony, and she would say a little bit about it, and that wasn't exactly her testimony, but it seemed to me that she was depending on that more than she was on a testimony that she had. And I remember when I first got saved and called to preach, I looked at her one day and I said, you better not be trusted in that dream that you had or that light that you had, because you'll die and go to hell. There's nothing in the Bible that says anything about that. You better get saved, and you better trust the Bible. And it took years later before she actually fell under conviction for that and got saved. But the point is that people will hold on to those dreams.
I'm telling you, I've seen Satan deceive people like that. And they'll hold on to those things. And they'll think there's something spiritual. You're right, there is something spiritual. But it's the angel of light. It's Satan, the one that is transformed into an angel of light. And he's tricking you. He's using a subtle technique. He's using his wisdom to take you to hell. To lead you to hell. That's what he's using. To deceive you. That's what he's going to do. What is Satan going to do in the end? In Revelation chapter 13. He's going to show many signs and wonders, isn't he? The Bible says that, actually, in the book of Thessalonians, the Bible says that even the elect would be fooled if it were possible. If they didn't have the Holy Ghost of God inside them, they'd be fooled. They'd be fooled by the signs and the wonders of the devil. The lying signs and wonders of the devil. You would be fooled if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost of God inside of you. Well, you can look and discern those things. Paul is saying in the end times, there are going to be many that are just going to be fooled by the devil. Why? Because he's going to do all these lying signs and wonders and magical things and all those things. He's going to do those things and people are going to be fooled by it. They're going to be swayed by it, just like some are now. And that's not the gospel of the Bible. Satan wants to seduce you from the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. He wants to move you from that. The gospel's simple, folks. It's not complex. It's not some bright light that shines. It's not any of that. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It's very simple. But what does Satan do? He offers you some light. As the light bearer, as an angel of light, he offers you some light. That's what people would rather do that. What did Naaman? He was the same way. Naaman was said, go dunk in that muddy river 7 times, and then you'll be healed of your leprosy. And he walked and said, why am I going to dump in that nasty river like that? And his servant said to him, well, my Lord, you want something fancy here. You would. He goes, well, the rivers over where we're from are better than this one. Yeah, but if somebody asked you to do something valiant, you would do it, but you won't just do this? This simple thing that was asked of you, you won't do it to be healed? The gospel is the same way. This simple gospel that we preach, the absolute simplicity that's in Christ Jesus, but you won't follow that. No, you'll follow one that comes and gives some light. Some other light. Not Christ, the light of the world, but some other light. Some other deceiving light that this world is being set up for right now. A deceiving light that's coming. And the Spirit is already here, swaying people. Satan is as most dangerous as the angel of light. Don't forget that. He's the most dangerous in false doctrine. Why? Because it's doctrine. And it may be false and just a little bit false, but it's how he works. If he can get you off of that doctrine, that true Bible doctrine, if he can question that Bible doctrine, and he can teach somebody a perversion of that doctrine, then they'll die and go to hell. Or he'll keep them from the truth and deceive them with errors. Because this is his religious side, that angel of light. And he's very deceptive. And he's very good at it. Look what he can do with baptism. There, even down through the centuries, back when we look back in Baptist history, and I believe in scriptural baptism, I do, and I'm a Baptist all the way, but some of our forefathers got sucked into the Church of Christ, baptismal regeneration, where Alexander Campbell came in through the South and wreaked havoc in the South. And he taught a perversion. And he took the scriptures in Acts. He says, he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. And he took some of those verses and he perverted them. And even though the next verse explains what that means. He perverted that. He was very crafty. And he got people to believe a false gospel. He got them to believe in a baptism that saved them. And he swayed hundreds and hundreds of churches in the South. Hundreds of He killed the Baptist revival. He killed the Baptist revival in the South. Thank God there were some valiant men that stood up and were able men that studied the scriptures and came out and debated him and finally destroyed that, for the most part, its sway. But it caused a lot of damage. And a lot of people were hurt by it. And a lot of people died and went to hell because they trusted in baptism and not Christ. Because those Baptists held to a Baptist baptism. They held, you got to be born again first and then you're baptized. But baptism was an important ordinance. It is an important ordinance. And Alexander Campbell was swayed by Satan and
that angel of light came to him, and he started pushing a baptismal regeneration, and it filled the south with it. That's how dangerous the angel of light is. You've got to understand that. He does that with everything. The Lord's Supper is an ordinance that is very important, but it doesn't save you. Baptism doesn't save you. But he took those ordinances of the church, and the devil has used them, and he's perverted them to preach a different gospel. And men have fell for it. Men have fell sway to it. And we have to be on our guard for that. We have to understand that. The devil will attack the book as the angel of light with these modern perversions. He'll attack the ordinances. He'll attack godly living. He'll attack any manner of things that he wants to in the religious realm as the angel of light to bring about some new wisdom and light to you. That's how he operates. And that's where he's his most dangerous. Never forget that. And always try the spirits to see whether they're of God. For many false spirits have gone out. Many antichrist spirits are out there. Many of them today. And we've got to hold up this book and we've got to stand for it. And we've got to know what it says, because that angel of light comes to deceive. And he deceiveth the whole world.